Bison, elk, and red wolves. Those are three of the large native mammals that people have tried to restore to the forests and fields of the eastern United States. Pittsburgh-based author Andrew Moore explores those efforts in his new book, The Beasts of the East. 90.5 WESA's Bill O'Driscoll spoke with Moore and asked how he came to the topic.
I saw a news brief that West Virginia was going to be reintroducing elk to southern West Virginia. And I was like, wow, elk had been in southern West Virginia. You know, I couldn't really picture this animal that I associated with the West in the Appalachian Mountains of West Virginia. So I started looking into this, and I learned quickly that West Virginia wasn't even the first Central Appalachian state to reintroduce elk, and that actually in 1997, Kentucky kickstarted this modern movement of putting elk back in the East and utilizing reclaimed mountaintop removal surface mines for this work. And when I started digging into the story more, I saw how just deeply complex this story was. It wasn't just this home run of, you know, putting animals back and celebrating that, you know, we've restored wild nature. That, in fact, this was a much more complicated story because the habitat that was required for these reintroductions was a habitat that was the product of ecological devastation.
And the reintroduction in eastern Kentucky was spearheaded, if you will, by hunters, actually.
That's right. But most cases, it's just one or two individuals who really wanted to see this happen. And yes, this was a project that was to provide a hunting opportunity for the sportsmen and women of their respective states. You know, there's this buzzword, rewilding, that people use a lot. And it's this idea of restoring wildness to landscapes, and often through large mammal reintroductions. And those elk in East Kentucky are 100% wild, free-roaming animals. But the motivation for that project is not a sort of classic environmentalism project. It is sort of this older school, if you will, sportsman conservation project.
And then by contrast, you have the bison in Illinois, which were reintroduced as a part of this habitat restoration, right?
That's right, yeah. And the bison of the tallgrass prairies in Illinois and Indiana were not brought back for hunting, were not brought back for sportsmen. The motivations here differ greatly in that those bison were put there to work, if you will. The tallgrass prairies of these states are the product of intense ecological restoration, some of the most intense and most rigorous work anywhere on the planet. The attention to detail of, you know, hundreds of species of plants have been reintroduced to these places in Illinois and Indiana. Former cornfields taken out of production and rewilded in the most complete sense. And, you know, it's not just big charismatic animals. It's, again, hundreds of species of plants. Insects. Insects were stocked there on these prairies. And after decades of work, the folks who were spearheading these projects in places like Nechusa grasslands in northern Illinois, they realized that they were still missing this big, big important piece, and that is the grazer of the prairie, and that is the American bison. And the grazing of bison in these prairie preserves opens up habitat opportunities for plants that need more sunlight and birds that require shorter grasses. So by bringing those bison in, it's this quest to restore the full function of the wild prairie. But it comes at a cost, in a sense, for the bison, because in northern Illinois, it would be hard to have free-roaming bison next to the interstate, not far from Chicago. The extent that we're able to restore wildlife to the east often comes with compromise, and these two projects show that compromise in different ways.
Are there any of these large mammal reintroductions going on around the country right now as we speak?
Yeah, well, the big one that's ongoing is the red wolf recovery that I write about in the book. Its work is not done. The work of conserving carnivores is not complete, and the red wolf remains a controversial project. Around 2011, the population of wild red wolves in North Carolina peaked at around 150 wild animals. We had a lot of wolves in Northeast North Carolina. But for a handful of reasons, the red wolf population crashed. And one of the reasons was gunshot mortality. People were killing wolves again in Northeast North Carolina, despite the fact that they were an endangered species and protected under the Endangered Species Act. And that population crashed to about a dozen animals. Since then, recovery has continued. The Fish and Wildlife Service has since doubled down on recovery, and they have won over some support of local landowners who are now more willing to accept red wolves on private property, as well as the vast estate of public land that's in North Carolina. It is to be seen yet, you know, how that goes, you know, whether or not North Carolinians will allow wolves to continue to live in their state.
That was author Andy Moore with WESA's Bill O'Driscoll discussing his new book, The Beasts of the East, The Fall and Rise of America's Eastern Wilderness. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org.